Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 2 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 13, 15 through 25. If you're enjoying this podcast but would like a more in-person study, then check out the 10-Week Bible YouTube channel. It's the same podcasts are over there with Bible texts and maps and other helpful videos that I've produced over time. All the links for that are in the description and the show notes. With that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. We want to encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges 13, starting in verse 15. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. So obviously, this angel is coming to Manoah and his wife very much in a human form. Now, she told him, you know, immediately on that, hey, this guy came to me and he looked like an angel. But, you know, he was obviously a guy because that's, you know, how he appeared. But there was something about him. I don't know if it was the way he looked, the way he talked, the confidence. Something about him made Manoah's wife say, this has got to be somebody special. I think he looks like an angel. I don't know. And Manoah is having the same encounter with him. He's like, there's something about him, but he's human. He looks human. He looks normal. They're not cluing in that he's an angel just from looking at him. But there is a confidence. And Manoah's like, let me make you some food. And this is kind of like normal culturally, and it'll also be normal for, you know, people nowadays to some extent. I mean, imagine coming in and you have been barren, you know, okay. You or your wife, you listening, you've been barren your whole life and you've wanted to have kids and you can't have kids. And then all of a sudden this random guy who you've never met, who doesn't know anything about you, comes and says, "Hey, you're going to have a child. And this is a big deal. You know, I know you've been barren, you have a child." The fact that he would know that, or that would be the thing that he's going to tell you, the one, like the main thing in your life that you've wanted and couldn't have, and this guy shows up and says that, almost anybody is going to be like, "Let me make you some food. I like you. I like what you're telling me." You know, even if you don't, like, how can you verify this? How can you know that you're going to have a child just because this guy tells you? But out of nowhere, he says, "Hey, you're going to have a child." And that's like the very thing that is plaguing your heart. It's plaguing her heart that she couldn't have a child. And so they're listening and they're like, "We want to make you a meal. Come be with us for a little bit." So this is, again, it's very cultural for this time period, but I think it'd be very normal for us to do something very similar as well. I like this next part. This is one of my favorite statements from an angel in all of Scripture. Verse 17. "And then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask me my name? It is beyond understanding.'" I love this. This is just so movie material right here. This is just the best line I think that any angel gives in all of Scripture. Maybe with the exception of Mary talking to Gabriel and he's like, "I stand before the Lord," you know. This is such a cool verse. "Why do you ask me my name? It is beyond understanding." Manoah still doesn't clue in to who he's speaking to. Maybe he's a little put off. He's like, "It's like, why would it be beyond understanding?" He's still thinking this is a prophet. This is a man that God has sent to them. And so he's like, you know, "I want to know your name so that when this does come through, I can honor you in the stories that I tell to all of the people that this prophet so-and-so, the word that he gave us came true." And the angel is like, no, you can't have my name. Which is interesting because we don't really get the names of many angels in the Bible. We know Gabriel and we know Michael and we know Lucifer. And really beyond those, you know, three archangels, we don't really know many, if any. I don't think there are any other angels' names in Scripture. And so it's very interesting what he says. I'm just always so fascinated by this. I don't fully know what to make of it, but I'm always fascinated by it. Verse 19, then Manoah took a young goat together with its grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. This is so similar to Gideon's story, and Manoah and his wife, they must be thinking of Gideon's story when this happens. I mean, Gideon's story is you know, a few generations before them, but they really do. They've got to be thinking about Gideon's story. It's just got to be replaying in their mind as this is happening. This is just like the story of Gideon, of what's happening. Except what's different here is instead of like the angel setting on a fire, they actually light the fire. They set the fire for the sacrifice. It's burning. And then somehow the angel, who they thought was a prophet up to this point, the angel just starts ascending into the fire. And when they realize that, like, oh my gosh, he didn't come down, you know, then it finally clicks. That was an angel. This was this otherworldly, heavenly experience, this encounter like no other. And I like their response. Verse 22, we are doomed to die, he said to his wife. We have seen God. But his wife answered, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. So Manoah's wife is a very wise person. Manoah freaks out, and because it was very common understanding at the time that, you know, you can't see God and live. I mean, that's very biblical, as you don't see God face to face and live. And I don't actually understand why that is, but he's God and he gets to make the rules. And so you don't get to see him in you know, face to face and then come back to planet Earth and continue living. We will see him face to face for all eternity. But in this life, we don't get to see him face to face. We're locked away into eternity once we see him face to face. But then that brings up all these other questions, like, you know, Jesus is, you know, part of the Trinity. He is God in the flesh. And there were people that saw him face to face. They looked on him with unveiled eyes, as the Bible says. And then there's the angels who stand before God. And this is one of the things here, which is a very interesting piece of understanding that the ancient people from this time had was, you know, and there's a lot of language around this as well, is sometimes, you know, it's like Old Testament passages will say, the Lord said this, but in the context, it's always speaking through the angel. And so sometimes it can be a little confusing when you're reading it. Is it the Lord speaking or is it an angel? And it's really both. You know, the angels are the messengers of the Lord. And so they're ones speaking, but they're speaking on behalf of God. But sometimes in Scripture it just says straight up that God said this, or that the Lord said this, even though it was an angel, a messenger of the Lord, actually the one who's physically saying it. And so there's a lot of what you see in these kinds of texts, I don't want to say a misunderstanding, but such a reverence that even to see an angel was like seeing the face of God himself to them. I don't think that they believed that this is Yahweh, that this is God Almighty. They understood it was an angel, but still the fact that this angel had seen God, you know, the people were afraid of Moses, who had just been in God's presence. He glowed, he shined, and they asked Moses to veil his face because his face was reflecting, you know, God just when he would meet with God in the presence of God, not even seeing God face to face, but just in this somehow spiritual, tangible form of meeting with God. Moses' face would shine, and it freaked the people out so much. They were afraid that they were going to die just from looking at Moses. So they asked Moses to put the veil on. And so this is kind of that mentality there, is this angel has met with God, met face to face with God, and they know that this message has come directly from God. And so it really freaks Manoah out. But his wife's like, no. He wouldn't have accepted the offering for one. And why would he come and tell us all this amazing stuff only because he wanted to kill us? It doesn't make any sense, Manoah. Like, chill out. You're freaking out. This is like not a time to like be afraid. This is a joyous time. Manoah's wife encourages him. So she continues on in verse 24. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanedan between Zora and Eshtaol. So what we know about Samson so far is that he's going to have a supernatural conception from a woman who is barren. He's going to be a Nazarite from birth. So he's got to live very, very differently. And what we're going to find out, you know, is, you know, I talked yesterday about how he's going to have this really long hair and this ZZ Top beard and all this kind of stuff. What he's going to do is, you know, what most people would do in a situation like this. He's going to braid his hair to make it more manageable, but it's still going to be, you know, just impossibly long. He's going to have a wild beard. Be interesting to know if he had braided his beard as well, or if his beard just kind of grew down again, ZZ Top style. But at any rate, he's going to be a strange child, a unique child because of this Nazarite vow. He's got a supernatural conception. They've got this angel story from the beginning, and they also know that he is going to free the people from the Philistines. Like, his parents know from before he's born, before he's even conceived, actually, they're going to know that Samson is going to be a deliverer of their people. And so they're at least trying to take this very seriously, it seems. We're going to see that Samson is not going to take it near as seriously as they do. We'll get into that starting tomorrow, into the life of Samson. But for the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.